Thank you for joining me again today. We got off to a good start yesterday as we continue our conversation about this key word, righteousness, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. The Apostle Paul writes this to the saints at Rome: "The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, 'But the righteous man shall live by faith.'" Well, what does righteousness mean? I define righteousness this way: righteousness is God making you right with God. And now I am in the process of unpacking for us what this means. And last week I gave you these four insights. First, we all require Christ's righteousness. Second, Christ makes us righteous. Third, we are made righteous through our faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. And fourth, we must kill any attempt at being self-righteous. And then yesterday I defined for you an associated word, and that is the word imputation. I-M-P-U-T-A-T-I-O-N, imputation. Now that word seems boring and irrelevant to everyday practical life and living, and so what does it mean? Well, the word imputation is an accounting term. We get this word imputation from Latin, and it means to apply to one's account. To apply to one's account. Think of it this way: expenses are debited from an account and income is credited to an account. Let's say that you sit down at the end of the month and you're looking over your bank account statement and you see that you took out certain amounts of money to pay your expenses. Well, those dollar amounts are debited from your account. They are subtracted and they are taken away. But then you look over your account and you see that your monthly salary was credited to the account. That amount is added. That's money that came into your bank account. The money that went out was debited, and the money that came in was credited. Well, likewise, this is what God does in salvation. This is how God makes us holy. Imputation. And so here now, in my own words, is what imputation means as it is used in Scripture. Imputation is God giving Christ your sin, and God giving you Christ's righteousness. I'll repeat that. Imputation is God giving Christ your sin and God giving you Christ's righteousness. God gives Christ your sin. God takes away your sin and gives it to Christ on the cross. God debited your sin. God subtracted your sin from you. And also God gave you Christ's righteousness. God credited Christ's righteousness to you, or God added Christ's righteousness to you. That's what imputation means biblically and theologically as related to righteousness. And importantly, when does the imputation happen? It happens when you have put your faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. At the point when you and I experience God's salvation, God gave Christ our sin, and God gave us Christ's righteousness. There's an accounting. There is subtraction, the forgiveness of sin, but there is also addition, Christ's righteousness. And we all require both in order to be saved. We require both in order for God to consider us holy, as He is holy. And so that you see imputation in the Scripture, I'm first going to describe how God gave Christ our sin, and then after I have described this, then I will describe how God gave us Christ's righteousness. And to do this, let me reread for you 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. This is 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. "God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ." This verse describes the imputation of our sins to Jesus Christ and the imputation of Christ's righteousness to us. Consider with me the first half of the verse. "God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf." This verse describes the first part, God giving Christ your sin. Jesus knew no sin. That means, as we know, that Jesus Christ himself never ever sinned. Jesus was perfect. Jesus was innocent. And even on the cross, Jesus remained perfect. It is not accurate to say that Jesus became a sinner. No, Jesus did not become a sinner. All that happened on the cross was that God treated Jesus as if he was guilty of the sins of all people who would ever believe by faith in Jesus Christ. people like you and me if you're a Christ follower. God poured his wrath for sin on Jesus as if Jesus were the sinner, even though Jesus was not the sinner. I am the sinner, but my sin was given to Jesus. You are the sinner, but your sin was given to Jesus. That's the first part of imputation. Imputation is God giving Christ our sin. Let me say more about spiritual accounting here. Why are the sins of those who believe in Jesus Christ by faith debited from our account? Why are our sins subtracted from us? It is because our sins have been punished in Christ's death on the cross. It is important that you understand that no sin goes unpunished. God punishes sin. So for someone who rejects Jesus Christ, for a person who does not believe in Jesus Christ by faith, their sin is punished in judgment that eternally separates that person from God. But for someone who believes in Jesus Christ by faith alone, our sin is punished also. God the Father punishes Jesus the Son on the cross by taking our sin and imputing it. There's that word again, to Jesus. Our sin is debited from us and credited to Jesus Christ. Our sin is subtracted from us and added to Jesus Christ. Our sin is taken away from us and given to Jesus Christ. I hope that you understand this. Christians talk all the time about being saved because God has forgiven us our sins. True. Very true. But I do not think we always understand the full implications of this. It's not that our sins just sort of magically disappear. No, they all went to someone, and that someone is Jesus Christ. And in Jesus, my sins and your sins are all punished. This is why our sin is so heartbreaking. Often, when I am repenting of my own sin, I am drawn to the reality that Jesus is my substitute on the cross. What I so carelessly and casually do to offend my Lord and my God has been taken from me, but at great cost to Him. How can I be so foolish as I continue to sin? I personally find the imputation of all my sin to Jesus Christ very convicting, knowing that God gave my sin, all my sin, to Christ and punished my sin in Christ's body is motivation for me to stop sinning. Indeed, the wages of sin is death, and my death was paid for by Christ's death. Christ is my substitute. He took my place. And so out of praise and thanksgiving and an overwhelming sense of gratitude, I then set my course in life as one of obedience to God and His commands for me. Thankfulness for what He has done makes me yearn to do what Christ wants done. Thankfulness for what Christ has done makes me yearn to do what Christ wants done. Am I saying I am perfect? Absolutely not. But I am saying that knowing my sin has been imputed to Christ and punished by God motivates me for obedience in the very practical matter of my daily life here and now. Well, how about you? Dear Christian, do you feel the same way about your sin? Let me take us back into the book of Romans and show you how what I have just said I got from the Bible. In Romans chapter 4 and verses 7 through 8, the Apostle Paul draws from the life of King David and quotes Psalm chapter 32 verses 1 through 2. As many of you know, David committed a great deal of sin against God, and when he brought that sin before God in repentance, David experienced the forgiveness of Almighty God. And David understood imputation. He knew that God had removed his sin from him. God had subtracted the sin. God would no longer hold David to account for his sin. It was forgiven. Listen now to Paul quote David in Romans 4, verses 7 through 8. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. Did you hear the very end of verse 8? The Lord will not take into account. There is that sense of accounting again. Imputation is an accounting term. The lawless deeds have been forgiven. The sins have been covered. The Lord will not take into account our sins. Now you say, but David lived long before Christ. David was a man of the Old Testament. Yes, but David looked forward to Christ's death on the cross for his sin, just as today we look backward to Christ's death on the cross for our sin. Both David's sins and our sins are covered by Christ, are imputed to Christ, taken from us and given to Christ on the cross. Oh, my friends, the cross is powerful. No one has ever been saved from sin who has not been saved by Jesus' substitutionary death on the cross. Jesus took David's place on the cross, and Jesus took our place on the cross. All who believe by faith in Jesus are saved from our sins because those sins have been imputed to Christ. You see, this is the importance of imputation. It's essential that we understand what it means. And so here's a reminder of what I'm doing. I'm sharing with you that imputation is God giving Christ your sin and God giving you Christ's righteousness. And today I focused on the first half of this definition of imputation, God giving Christ your sin. Tomorrow I'll take us forward to understand the second part of this definition, God giving you Christ's righteousness. Imputation moves in two ways, our sins to Christ and Christ's righteousness to us. Isn't it extraordinary what Jesus Christ has done for us? Righteousness is God making us right with God. God taking the initiative. God on the move. We are the ones who sin and sin boldly, but God is the one who loves us so much that he gave us Jesus so that everything that is wrong in our relationship with God can now be made right. Hallelujah! What a Savior. We love Jesus. And we will continue to celebrate God tomorrow, right here on God Is.